Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, and I guess be sitting the next few weeks, is
Mike Cosentino,
my beloved co-host.
Yes, yes, back from the wars, so to speak.
And Gary LeMaster.
I'm just sort of monitoring broadcast.
We let Gary ask maybe two questions a show.
That's it. He's got a great backup QB over here.
Yeah, he waves cue cards at us when we make mistakes. But other than that,
he's our accuracy soul. Oh yeah.
We have Felicia Rodolini on the line today from Phoenix.
Good morning, Felicia. Are you there?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
She's running for Attorney General of Arizona. She has 27 years of legal experience as an attorney, 10 years as a litigation attorney in private practice. We'll talk a little bit about what the Attorney General's office actually does, but Felicia, for a long time, has specialized in extremely complex white-collar crime and suits against various institutions, particularly auditors and accountants that have helped sort of criminally acting organizations rip people off. And she's been extremely successful at it. Felicia, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're born in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Yep.
Came to Arizona after you graduated from Notre Dame Law School, worked in the private sector, and then went to work for the Attorney General's office, where you were Assistant Attorney General.
Yeah, I like that the Arizona Republic called it a stint, which I guess depends on how you want to define stint. The stint was 17 years in the Attorney General's office, so that's a pretty lengthy stint, and one of the things that we wanted to talk about was the endorsement from the Republic and the candid endorsement. That the title of the piece was "In a Close Call, Choose Felicia Rodolini." Then Felicia Rodolini, and then went on to list your opponents' bending of the truth, and then the pure political linking of you to the Obama administration, and then the Republic dismissed that as they should.
And one of the main ways he bent the truth was about what the Attorney General's office actually does.
Yeah, good point.
I actually have a copy of what the Attorney General's office from the Tom Horn Attorney General website. And the Attorney General's office represents and provides legal advice to most state agencies, enforces consumer protection, civil rights laws, prosecutes criminals charged with complex financial crimes, which is what you were mostly involved in, and certain conspiracies involving illegal drugs. In addition, it handles appeals from other courts or what the state will do about them. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show and giving me this opportunity. You guys have laid it out very well. 27 years of practicing law in Arizona. This is the only place I've lived and practiced law for those years. And 17 of those years were in the Attorney General's office. Actually, 13 of those years as an assistant attorney general in both the criminal and the civil divisions of that office, something my opponent does not have in his resume. And then I ran the Department of Financial Institutions, the agency that oversees financial services for both Governor Napolitano and Governor Brewer. So my 17 years in the trenches, as I like to call it, working with Republicans and Democrats, when you are doing the work for the people of Arizona, you're pretty colorblind. And that's, I believe, one of the things that the Arizona Republic endorsement did emphasize, was that I have always talked about my independence as a candidate for office. Yes, I am a Democrat, but my career, my public service career, has been working across party lines to solve problems and build coalitions. And I ran my campaign in a similar fashion by having both independents and Republicans endorsing me, the entire law enforcement community. And that was another issue that the Arizona Republic endorsement complimented me on and dished my criticized my opponent for trying to portray me as an Obama ally and trying to portray me as partisan when, in fact, my record representing the people of Arizona and protecting the Arizona citizens and my campaign have done just the opposite, and that's to be apolitical. And so my years in the trenches included a case against Arthur Anderson. This is where I really worked on a complex white-collar fraud case. They were the auditors of the Baptist Foundation of Arizona, which was a nonprofit, but was really operating as a Ponzi scheme. And my job was to investigate the role of Arthur Anderson and the audits and the financial statements and how they had been manipulated and how Arthur Anderson missed it and actually knew a lot that should have brought that fraud to their attention. And we were able to return over $217 million to the victims of the fraud. And there were about 11,000 victims, mostly folks who had thought that they were investing in a sound religious organization and that they were going to be doing good for God and getting a good return. That was one of the slogans of the Baptist Foundation of Arizona. But in fact, it was what we call an affinity fraud, where the victims come from a similar background as the perpetrators of the fraud, and their guard is not as strong as it should be. And so we were able to return a good portion of those folks' retirement funds to them, and these are mostly working-class folks and senior citizens who were victimized by this kind of fraud. And that is why I am the best candidate for the job, is that my background is tailor-made to be attorney general. I represented state agencies for a number of years, the departments of insurance, banking, and real estate. So I have an understanding of the economic drivers of the state of Arizona, real estate, financial services, the lending community, and I have an understanding of consumer fraud, and that's a very, very important job of the Attorney General's office and something that I will emphasize and make a priority.
Let me ask you a question, because when I've been on juries, it's all been street crime and one suit, and it's very, very hard to convict people. And yet you've taken on the most complex cases. How long did the Baptist Foundation litigation go on?
Well, we started our investigation in 1998, and we settled in about 2001, 2002. It was about 2002. And the reason why it took so long is that we did have to work. We had to get all of the auditing work papers. I had forensic accountants, CPAs, who could understand and go through those records and see where the fraud was. We worked with the Securities Division of the Corporation Commission. We worked alongside the grand jury investigation that was ongoing. And these cases need expertise, and that is why part of the job of the Attorney General, instead of county attorneys who have original jurisdiction over street crimes, it's the job of the Attorney General to do these statewide cases, cases that impact folks in more than one county, that impact the rural counties, statewide fraud, and that's where the resources and the expertise for these cases reside. And I am very excited about the opportunity to beef up white-collar fraud, consumer fraud, especially against our seniors, and make it a priority. Just think about it. Have you heard about any cases coming out of the Attorney General's
office?
Nothing.
It's a wasteland.
Well, I think you're doing is extremely complicated, and you're really managing a bunch of attorneys and accountants to get this done. Why did you go after sort of corrupt accountants rather than the foundation itself? Why was that your role?
Well, the foundation was criminally, the principals of the foundation, the president, general counsel, chief financial officer, and some of the insider board members were investigated criminally, charged criminally, and were prosecuted on the criminal side. But they didn't, those folks didn't have the ability to return any funds to the victims.
So what you're going after is the, getting the money returned to the victims of this fraud.
Right. And my job was, I represented the Arizona Board of Accountancy, the regulatory body that regulates CPAs. And while that might sound like a very boring job, I handled all the high-profile audit failures by the big five CPA firms, and I did that for 8 years.
And you sued other people, too, other accounting firms who sort of helped with the fraud and gotten money back and at least raised a red flag over some of their activities. Do you think this has made – I mean, there's a constant – and when we read our little local newspapers, there's a constant slew of frauds going on of people contacting, particularly seniors, with all these kinds of, phony bank accounts, phony car loans.
Prior to Tom Horn, the Attorney General's office under Terry Goddard had a great education program statewide. Even in Sedona, they came. They had representatives come to talk about consumer fraud. Of course, we haven't heard much. So is Felicia Rodellini going to reinvigorate this Attorney General education program of some kind?
Yes, I will absolutely. I will reinvigorate the education program of seniors, because that is absolutely the number one way to fight fraud against seniors. And I will also energize the consumer protection section of the Attorney General's office and make sure we have a senior affairs unit that focuses on senior fraud. And we're going to do what Terry Goddard did, and we're going to take the Attorney General's office to the retirement communities, to the big community centers, where we can educate a lot of seniors in one swoop. We can help them with consumer complaints. Seniors get very isolated, especially if they are embarrassed and they think they might have been swindled by someone. They're embarrassed.
Yeah, that's a big factor, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And also, many of them just don't get on the website and can download a consumer complaint and get the information to the Attorney General's office to start an investigation. And we usually have many consumers that have been victimized by the same perpetrators of the fraud. And it's organized crime. It is folks who are insidiously calling into people's homes, lying, luring all these seniors into a sense of false trust. And as I, the last 20 months, I have been to every corner of the state.
I bet you have.
And I have talked to many folks in a lot of retirement communities who feel that their communities are under siege by these scam artists, whether it's the stereotypical door-to-door salesman or the person calling into someone's home and lying and getting folks to just simply wire money offshore, for heaven's sakes, and to do it in a fashion that really puts the seniors at risk of losing their whole retirement. So we have to really focus on our senior community and help them protect themselves, and secondly, then go after those fraudsters and send a message. Don't come to Arizona.
Well, that's it. I think some visible presence by the Attorney General's office in that area, and some coverage, which you'll get. I mean, the media loves covering those kinds of cases, and so you'll get certainly that cooperation if you had an Attorney General's office that was organized enough or cared enough to do its job.
Well, and that's about the culture of the Attorney General's office. And you mentioned, the Attorney General is really running the law department, which is the biggest law firm in the state, which has over 400 lawyers, 400 assistant attorney generals, many of them doing on the civil side of the office, representing state agencies, such as the Department of Real Estate, Banking, Insurance, Board of Accountancy, Board of Cosmetology, Board of Medical Examiners, all of the departments that are regulating the business community, they all get their advice from assistant attorney generals. And then if you have a consumer complaint, it is the attorney general that you file that complaint with, not the county attorneys, who are the prosecutors of street crimes. But the job of the attorney general is to take on those technical, complex fraud cases, white-collar fraud, and consumer fraud cases, and utilize the resources statewide to protect Arizona families.
Yeah, I think the emphasis, it strikes me, on education is particularly important, because even if you prosecute them, a lot of times the money's gone that these seniors have lost.
Yes.
And certainly
yes.
If they send it overseas, getting it back must be a really long haul.
Let's spend a few minutes talking about the race, Felicia.
Yeah.
Certainly you've had your share of debates, and they've been heated ones. They've been, I don't know if you can call that good or not, but they've certainly been lively.
They have.
let's talk about polls, and let's talk about endorsements. You could probably got the most. What are the polls telling you right now?
Well, the polls, we're neck and neck. Some polls have me 3 points ahead, 2 points ahead. The most recent polls have said that, but other polls have put me in a dead heat or a couple points behind. And I tell you, that's because we live in a very independent state, Republican state, and the attorney general's race and the name ID of the candidates is not as high as on the gubernatorial side. We have been doing commercials. We did a very positive commercial about my work on the Baptist Foundation case with victims of the Baptist Foundation fraud that
great,
came forward.
Great
that
ad,
helped
by
my
that.
Name ID a lot. And then, of course, there have been $2.6 million of attack ads against me, I believe falsely accusing me of not having a border plan and being soft on crime. That's just absolutely not true.
Where does that $2.6 million come from? Who's providing the money for that?
It's a combination of out-of-state groups. It's not just the Republican Attorney General's Association. There is some Koch brothers money behind that. This is a group that is all about privatizing Social Security and have a national agenda that I believe is wrong and harmful for the state of Arizona. And they have all combined their resources and put them under the Republican Attorney General's Association. And they do the polling, and they know the number one negative for me is simply that I'm a Democrat, and then they associate me with President Obama. And
right.
Good, bad, or indifferent, I was grateful for the Arizona Republic calling my opponent out on that.
Yes.
And that I truly am independent, and have to say that I am an Obama ally is just ridiculous. And I have truly set myself apart by talking about how I don't agree with the President Obama's administration on the EPA rules that have been proposed in Arizona. They would very much hurt our economic development and are very draconian in the application in Arizona compared to other states. And so I'm on record where I would have no problem suing the federal government. As a former community bank regulator and financial services regulator, I've had to interact for many years with the federal government. I see that one-size-fits-all arrogance and their attitude to mandate issues and policy on the states. And I believe Arizona needs to take care of its own backyard, needs to protect its own borders, and can do that. And I will be that independent watchdog that will put partisan politics aside on both sides and do what's in the best interest of Arizona.
What about the bipartisan? Everybody's talking this lately. You invented this. I mean, you got 200 Republicans that endorse you, and
yes.
even the and I have no how'd you do that? I mean,
thank you. I have the endorsement of former Maricopa County Attorney Rick Romley, Republican, actually hired my opponent in the county attorney's office many years ago. He is all in for me. I've been very grateful for his help and mentorship. Former Governor Fife Symington has endorsed me, and he has a constituency group of conservative Republicans. It's about qualifications and character and temperament for those folks. For example, a very highly respected businessman, Jerry Colangelo, has endorsed me, a very highly respected developer, Sharon Harper, has endorsed me, and along with a number of former Republican legislators and other elected officials, such as Chris Mays, who was on the Corporation Commission, and former Attorney General Jack Lasota. So those folks are all in my camp because they know I will put the interests of the people first and be a centrist, a problem solver.
Wasn't Grant Wood one of the first and probably at least certainly the highest profile at the time anyway?
Yeah, Grant has been a big supporter of mine and mentor. He has been very supportive of my candidacy. He is somebody I go to. He's been quoted often in the papers, and I am very grateful for his help. Let me tell you, I am very grateful for the endorsements of the entire sworn law enforcement community, the Arizona Police Association, the Fraternal Order of Police, and ASCOP. They represent over 25,000 members of our law enforcement community. My opponent doesn't have any of those kinds of endorsements, and I believe that is evidence that people who know me and know my record and know my background know that I will put Arizona first. Public safety is the job of the Attorney General, not politics, and make sure that Arizonans are treated fairly and also protected.
Endorsements aside, why should people vote for you rather than your opponent? Could you sum that up? What do you think that you'll bring to the office? I know that you want to be nonpartisan, and it seems ridiculous to have a partisan. I know we have a partisan election to get there, but to have a partisan attorney general seems to be almost a contradiction in terms, right?
It is. I have to tell you, the founders of the drafters of the Arizona Constitution, I got it right and made the Attorney General's office one of the five executive branch offices that would be elected in this election cycle. By having the Attorney General's office elected, it's independent. There are some states that allow the governor to appoint the Attorney General, and there's even one state, Maine, that gives the decision-making to the legislature to pick the attorney general. And in both of those scenarios, you have an attorney general who will be beholden to a particular ideology or political party, perhaps, or to a group that will be able to shape or influence the attorney general's role. So the good part is it's elected, but to be elected, you have to identify yourself as being a part of a political party, and that's where the partisanship comes into play. I think that's the number one reason why voters should vote for me. I believe past performance predicts the future. And if you compare my past performance to my opponent's, you will see that I have 17 years of uninterrupted public service to the people of Arizona, either as a prosecutor in the civil and criminal divisions of the Attorney General's office, returning money to victims of fraud, shutting down unscrupulous companies, throwing people in jail and sending them to prison, and doing it in a bipartisan way. And to get these kinds of things accomplished, you have to work across party lines. And if you look at my opponent, you'll see a spotty record of someone who was in prosecution for a while and then went to a very extreme think tank for several years, then was a lobbyist for the private prison system for a number of years, and then was one of the state agencies for Governor Brewer. You don't see those kinds of bipartisan endorsements coming to my opponent because he's not he is very extreme, and his ideologies are extreme, which is exactly what we need to get away from. We need to return our leadership in the state to the independent centrist position that represents all sides and can solve the real problems facing Arizona. I want to talk about, and we could do it now if you want, my priorities. I have plans on my website to go after sex trafficking in the state of Arizona.
So I think it's important, Felicia, for people to look and see that that your priorities make sense for them. And so let's just give us a list of it, because it's important. Because the Attorney General, even though it's the largest law firm essentially in the state, has this huge collection of different jobs that it does.
Right.
And so it's important that people understand it or see what your priorities are compared to theirs. We've already talked about protecting seniors, which I think is a big one. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's start with protecting our children. I will go after online sex predators. I will also make sure that the 100-plus lawyers in the Attorney General's office that represent CPS and now represent Department of Child Safety are trained and supervised and are every day making the best decisions in the best interest of our children. I will also make the prosecution of sex trafficking a priority, and that's a statewide issue. It was a problem in 2010, and it's an issue particularly in the metropolitan areas that we need to address, and the Attorney General's office is the right place to do it. I'm going to work statewide to make the prosecution and prevention of domestic violence a priority. That's another area where the Attorney General's office has a victim services section, has the ability to work with all counties, all local law enforcement, to make sure we're doing everything we can to effectively prosecute and prevent domestic violence in the state. I'm also going to go after the drug cartels, absolutely, and the organized criminals at the border. The job of the Attorney General is to make sure our law enforcement community is coordinating and is more organized and more sophisticated than the criminals at the border that are profiting from illegal human smuggling, drug smuggling. And I have had experience in this that my opponent can't touch. When I ran the Department of Financial Institutions, I regulated money transmitters. That's commonly known as the Western Union, the MoneyGram, the Dolex, DollarX. And I, in my first 8 months as the superintendent of the Department of Financial Institutions, fined those companies $3.2 million for violating the laws that are intended to stop the flow of money being transmitted to the human smugglers and drug smugglers. I know this area of the law. I have worked with the FBI and the Attorney General's office on this in the criminal division. This is an area where I will hit the ground running to hit those organized criminals where it counts, and that's in the pocketbook, and stop the flow of funds to them.
Is all of this part of your liberal agenda that the dark money commercials are talking
before
about?
Before the show, we were going down the list.
I am the pro-business candidate in this race. If you go to my website, you'll see all the plans I just mentioned, and I have a plan called Better for Business. Because of my background regulating the business community, I know firsthand that we have a business community that wants to comply with the law, and then we have the minority of businesses that are scammers, that are out to hurt consumers, and they're out to hurt our good businesses. And so what I will do as Attorney General is make sure that we go after the worst of the worst. We go after the scam artists that take customers away from our good companies, that hurt the reputation of our good companies. I am very aware that businesses in Arizona have to comply with the law, and that costs money.
Well, that's it. So, I mean, I've been in Arizona 35 years, and Arizona's always had scammers coming because
right.
they come down south here. They think we're a bunch of yokels. And it's probably true of the Sun Belt in general. But certainly Arizona has.
Right.
And all of a sudden we have this kind of huge interruption in in the prosecutions and in investigations called the Horn administration.
Yeah. And that's why the Arizona Association of Realtors statewide have endorsed me. They understand and they know my record of going after mortgage fraud, for example, and how when I was superintendent, I created a mortgage fraud task force right when at the height of the mortgage crisis, and we were instrumental in indicting 36 people under Operation Cashback by the Department of Justice, by the way, under the Bush administration. They know that my background is about going after the people who are harming Arizonans and help our good businesses thrive under the regulation that they have to comply with to do so.
If you've got the Realtors organization, that's pretty good. Those guys are
funding a ton of conservative candidates. So if you've got them to support you, you've really moved over to the to convincing people that to focus on what you do rather than on your candidacy. Because the number of Democrats they support is minuscule.
To do a little step back, how important are endorsements?
Well, you know, I think endorsements are important because they help Republicans, for example, or independents in particular, to cross over and vote for me. And it busts the myth.
So that makes them even more important this year because I was listening to Fred Duvall two nights ago here in Sedona, and he said a year ago the race was 40-40, and the race today is 40-40 because the experts say there's so many independents and for whatever reason I can't believe that there's so many undecideds at 18 days, 17 days before the election is over. I guess I can't say, you know, ballots started dropping 2 weeks ago, so we can't say the election, but before November 4th anyway, or the election. So it's the same, I'm going to assume it's kind of the same in the attorney general's race, at least when it comes to the number of undecideds and why the battle is still so fierce.
Yes. You are absolutely right. This is a non-presidential year. And when we are in a presidential election cycle, by now we've had, good grief, 18 months of debates and the drumbeat of who are you going to vote for president of the United States. And so people are more aware of the fact that they need to go to vote in November. We, again, the founders of our Arizona Constitution determined that the cycle for the election of our executive branch, and it's the opposite of the presidential election cycle. So we just have a battle of awareness and to get folks to, again, focus on, hey, it's really important to go to the polls in November and be aware. And I was out in Sun City Grand two Saturdays ago, and I was so encouraged by the response that I received from folks, literally as I was standing on the sidewalk passing out my flyers at the annual Oktoberfest. And I was so encouraged because I met so many people that were very much aware of the election. They were very much aware of all of the attack ads, and they were still voting for me, and they knew that I was the right candidate. And I met a lady from Minnesota who was a registered independent who was going to vote for me. I met folks from the Midwest that had moved here in the last 4 years that were going to vote for me. And I believe that we are seeing a transformation in Arizona. And I believe that Yavapai County and the Verde Valley are part of that transformation. I believe that there are counties that have been predominantly Republican counties that are going to move in the direction of purple.
I agree.
Because people they're not voting party anymore. They're voting person. And they are tired of the politics on both sides. And these attack ads don't help in any way. In fact, it turns them off. And so one of the messages I want to send out to your listeners is please don't be discouraged. And please vote, even if these attack ads are driving you crazy like they're driving me crazy. because we need your vote. We do believe in Arizona and the state that it is. And I am trying, I'm fighting hard for the people of Arizona to get elected so that we can have an attorney general who will be looking at what's in the best interest of all Arizonans and who will also have the right temperament and the right maturity to put the people first and to discount the grandstanding and the political grandstanding that is so easy to do when you're an elected official. I wouldn't be running. I'm not running. I'm not a career politician. I can tell you that right now. I'm running because I want to be attorney general. Right. That my passion was serving and protecting the
necessary
people.
Evil to get in the office.
I was watching and taking notes on one of the attack ads against you last night, from a group I haven't heard of, the EPAC. And that was the one accusing you of a liberal agenda. And
these groups come and go, don't they, Gary? It takes weeks and weeks to figure out who they are.
The money goes through many, many channels.
Laundered, basically.
Right.
I would
say. good term. But it was tying your liberal agenda to increase illegal immigration. Exactly why do you plan to do that?
It's so false.
Yeah.
It's incredibly false. That's why I'm fighting so hard and getting on the radio with folks like you so I can talk about how this is just not true and that if you look at my candidacy, you'll see that I'm for the people. And that includes fighting against illegal immigration and all crimes in the state of Arizona, and to focus on what's really important, and that is the business of government in Arizona and making sure that it runs smoothly with good, sound advice and making sure that Arizonans are protected not only on the street or in their homes, but in their dealings with business and their dealings with government. I'm going to take politics out of the Attorney General's office and prosecute public corruption, regardless of political party, and make government more transparent. That means we need to enforce our open meeting laws. We need to enforce our public records laws. I have been practicing law the last 4 years on the private sector side, representing businesses and individuals who have been under investigation. So I now have a whole new perspective and understand how government needs to be fair.
Private prisons, we've done other shows on private prisons, and I had a former student in the criminal justice system, and he has written a paper. I mean, he is so incensed about the waste of money and the waste of resources in the private prisons. Quite frankly, I haven't caught that part of the debate. Where are you on the whole
problem? Well, the private prisons have come up because I have called out my opponent, Mr. Brnovich, for being a director, employed as a director and as a lobbyist for Corrections Corporation of America.
So Brnovich is in the pocket of the private prison.
Yeah,
I can say
prison.
That. Maybe you can.
And that's where it has come up in the debate, is that in 2006, he lobbied to kill legislation that would have made Arizona safer against the dangerous criminals that are literally being imported into Arizona from states like Hawaii and Alaska
to fill the private prisons.
Well, you know, that part plays well. The fact that he exposed Arizonans to danger by
dangerous criminals, right?
But my students' take on it was okay. I get that, he said, but it's such a ridiculous waste of money. He said, these guys are sucking money out of the system, and the private prison idea, the whole idea behind it, is not rehabilitative at all. In other words, the more they can brutalize prisoners, the more they don't rehabilitate, the more they come back, the better it is for their business. So rather than trying to lower the prison population in Arizona and rehabilitate the poor souls that come under their care, it's just the opposite. Their intent is to make sure they come back to prison as soon as possible.
In Yavapai County, a huge number are mentally ill, and I think we're concerned
in the studio,
about using our yes.
Sorry,
I resent that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The use of prisons to treat mentally ill, which is first cruel and secondly extraordinarily expensive. How would you respond to some of the attack ads, particularly because I think Mike and I and Gary were talking the other day, and it seems to us that the attack ads are almost aimed at turning people off politics. Maybe that's just a byproduct of all these vicious attacks, but it turns people off and they just sort of throw up their hands and say, I'm not going to be involved in politics. I'm not going to pay attention to what's going on. I'm just going to stay out of it. It's all these vicious ads attacking each other. It creates a nasty atmosphere.
Message fatigue. I mean, we have a lot of names for it these days. But yeah, go ahead. You already mentioned it, but go ahead and reiterate that the idea that of what Steve just said.
Well, it is true that these attack ads are turning folks off. And making them less likely to vote. And I just want to urge all listeners to vote and to be engaged. And there, it don't allow the negative ads that are coming from out of state to stop you from choosing your candidate that you want to see elected. Because what we're seeing is out-of-state groups with a national agenda coming to Arizona to attack candidates and to make them less attractive to the electorate, when in fact we need to be autonomous. We need to take control of our own destiny here in Arizona. And I hope when those voters look at my website at FeliciaForArizona.com and you look at my background and my history, my endorsements of the law enforcement community and high-level Republican law enforcement officials, such as former Maricopa County Attorney Rick Romley, that those voters will see that I will be their lawyer and their protector to not only go after dangerous criminals, but also dangerous fraudsters, and also protect Arizona through the good advice and counsel that I can give to the state agencies. I have a vision for the Attorney General's office that it's the best-run law firm in the state, and the client is the people of Arizona. That's the client that every day makes decisions in the best interest of the people of Arizona. As an attorney, I have an ethical duty to my client of loyalty and competence. That's the way I approach the job of Attorney General, and that is the culture I'll create in the Attorney General's office, that all assistant attorney generals, too, have a duty of competence and loyalty to make decisions in the best interest of the people and what's in the best interest of you and how to best protect you. That means being a good steward of taxpayer money and to file lawsuits against individuals and against governments, even in the federal government, but to make sure that they're based in good faith and they're motivated not by politics, but by what is in the best interest of Arizona.
Do we have any case against Tom Horn? Can we sue him as a...
We've got 1 minute left.
Well, I understand.
You've asked her the biggest question of the show, and she's got 1 minute to respond. Although she's a prosecutor, I'm not so sure.
This is a rhetorical question. I don't expect her to answer, but I want to sue Tom Horn for non-performance in office, and you don't have to answer the question. Felicia, it's been great to have you. We've got to do our endorsements here. Who we got?
Next week, Tom O'Halloran will be on the show.
Ah.
And Tom is running as an independent. He's a former Republican legislator
in
the state. He's the Verde Valley's only legislative representative, Republican or Democrat. And once Tom was not reelected and defeated in the Republican primary, we've had no one from the Verde Valley directly representing us in the state legislature. We want to thank Felicia Rodellini. You've been and listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.